Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you for this morning. I pray that you bless Arnie as he speaks to us this morning. I pray that the words that flow through him, Father, will be from you, and then it can touch our hearts, and that our hearts will be open to hear them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and welcome, everybody. Welcome to our visitors. Good to have you here. Some faces that I haven't seen in a very long time. Families have grown since then. Children have grown. Changes. But yeah, welcome. It's good to have everybody here. And happy Mother's Day to you mothers. My message this morning is not necessarily going to be focused on... Not necessarily on mothers, but maybe more around women. Okay, so it's connected to mothers. It's close enough, right? So it got switched up partway through the week. I had another message on the back burner for a while, and I was going to share that today, and never thought about that. It was Mother's Day, and then something else came up in the conversation with my wife, and I was like, I think this is something I should share today. So that's where we're going to go. But did you all notice the nice clean streets coming in here this morning? No, there's no trash in Lancaster City. It's awesome. For those of you who didn't participate and who have the benefit of having your front door right out on the street, Steve and Vicky, we picked your trash up, so you can thank us later. Yeah, I thought so. Make us feel good like we're doing something, right? Now, for those of you who don't know, Way of Jesus, their trash-a-thon was Way of Jesus Academy. Their trash-a-thon was yesterday. But what happened is they teamed up with a larger organization called Go Beyond Us, which is an annual. I guess they have this thing that they do annually, and so it just happened to be on the same day. I think it was awesome. I got to the event. I had no idea all this stuff was happening. I was like, "What's going on?" Who got this thing together? And so it was a great community event. So it was, you know, a couple hundred people just spreading out throughout the city and picking up trash. So should see a difference. So sounds like some other people had a rough week. But when I looked at my rough week compared to some other people's rough week, no, I'm good. I got it good, Marlon. That's a huge loss, and my thoughts and prayers are with you guys. And hearing Dave's story there, I have it really good. I thought I had a rough week. I didn't. I'm not even going to say it. It's not even doesn't even apply. So yeah, but God is good. And he is faithful. There's nothing that is beyond his control. There's nothing that, if we're tuned into God, there's nothing that he allows to come through that filter that's unexpected to him. He doesn't wake up one day and say like, "Whoa, I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't know this volcano was going to blow up today in Hawaii." He knew all that all along. There's nothing that happened in our lives that he was taken by surprise. He knows that. He's very in tune with you, and he loves you. He loves each one of you, and he has a plan for your life. And so, just to get into things this morning, we are going to talk about roles of women. I don't know if you'd say in the church, not because it's not just in the church. Roles of women, I don't know, you could say life. I'm just going to be very honest with you. I'm kind of nervous about this. If it looks like I'm nervous, I am. Okay, so it's not something that I often talk about, or that we often talk about, or that we take it. You know, we kind of think maybe we have this preconceived idea of what a woman's role is. So. Last Sunday, where was it? A couple Sundays ago, when Galen talked about empowering, okay, and the understanding that he was not just talking to men, he was also talking to women, and so women were supposed to take this and apply it as well. I love that. So if I would ask you, and I'm going to ask you, okay, how would you define a woman's role? It could be in church, it could be in your marriage, it could be overall. What kind of fits into your box of what a woman's role is? I mean, that's kind of a wide open question, but I just want to get some feedback. Unseen strength, okay, that's very good. So what can we do to change that, to make it seen, and so that it's not just unseen? It's a good point. Anything else? What are some roles in women? Partner in life? Yeah, to partner with her husband. Absolutely, they're partners. What else? What do you think of? When you think of a woman's role,
they make stuff happen.
I like it. They make stuff happen. So is it their job to cook and clean? Steve's nodding his head. He just got jabbed in the rib, so he's put back in his place. She made stuff happen. What else? Anything else? I know you women are thinking of stuff. I know you are. You're just afraid to spit it out. Because we have this idea that, and I've got some pushback on that already, that women are not just meant to be in the kitchen cooking and cleaning and serving their men, okay? Maybe some of you feel stuck in that right now because you have a row of children coming up, and it seems like that's what your life consists of. That is a season. There is a season for that. We've been there. Okay. I will say today, my wife's role is somewhat different. We have teenagers in the house now, which is awesome, and they're just able to pitch in and make stuff happen. So she doesn't do all the cleaning anymore. She doesn't do all the cooking anymore, which is nice. Not that I do it either, so. All right, does anybody else want to say something?
I think of a protector.
Okay.
When I think of a woman, I think of like a strong, protective mama bear.
Okay.
You know, they protect
yes.
people in their lives.
Yes, it is true. Doesn't that sound like a man's role, though? Dave, aren't you protecting? I've seen that in my wife, that mama bear thing come out.
I think sometimes like the concept that it's a lesser role to take care of children is, I think that's very messed up, because what do we men work for? Like, why do we go to work?
Right.
Why do we try to provide?
Right. Right.
Because that's mostly what we're all working for, is to be able to raise a family and
yes.
operate as a family.
Yep. And to do that effectively, and well, in any society, but in today's world, to do that effectively, it takes a team. It really does. I don't think the feminist movement did us any favors. And maybe there was reasons for that. Maybe there was a cause for it to come to that point where women just felt they're put in a box, and they resisted that and they revolted against that, and then it led to something completely opposite. When you look in the Bible, at no point does the Bible devalue femininity. It always promotes it. It always promotes feminine freedom, dignity, and honor. And when I look around, there's people groups who look at women as objects, or they look at them as tools, or something. They look at them as something, an object to serve and to meet my needs. Okay, and I'll have you know that that is not your role. And if you feel stuck in that role, I think you need to have a good talk with your husband, and maybe you need to send your husband to get. Send him to me. I'll counsel him. So, because it does something to me when I see women in that position, and they're stifled and they're not able to live up to their fullest potential. And that, I think, is something that we could do better as a church, that we could give the women a voice. Here's the truth, is that men and women are created in the image of God. Okay, we all are created in the image of God. We're equal. And there's not one that's better than the other. And we have to understand that. Now, there's different positions. I think as men, we are given a position of authority. It does not change our position to God. It does not change that. Women have equal access to the Father. And they hear in a different way at times, okay? So I think marriage was created to complete the picture of who God is, okay? We see today that is getting so screwed up in our society today. It's a shame. And what it does is it messes up the image of who God is. So if you have just women, if you just have women, whether it's in the home, in leadership, whatever, you will get a very lopsided picture of who God is. When you have just the man dominating and he's in control and he's not allowing his wife or the women in his life to speak into him, you're getting a very lopsided picture of the situation and of who God of who God is. I think God created man and women equal, but he gave us different aspects of his nature, okay? And when you have marriage, that completes that picture. And when you have one or the other, it's going to be lopsided. So what happens in today's society when you have the gay and the lesbian movement, you have two women, you have two men, totally distorts the picture of who God is. And so I think as people of God and as believers of his word, we need to take a hard look at that, at where we're at, and we need to see, are we empowering the women in our life? Here's one thing I know. I would not be the person I am today had it not been for my wife. Would it not be for her? She completes me in ways that are amazing. Like, and I'm going to have her come up here and share a little later. She has some great insights into this subject, and so I'm going to have her come up here a little later and share some of those. So you can look forward to that. If you get bored by me, you can look forward to that. So I'm going to turn first of all to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." Now that doesn't sound like some egotistic man looking over his wife, making him serve and making him do everything for him in his life, does it? What for picture do you get when you hear that? "For no one ever hated his own body, his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord the church." When you look at that picture and that relationship from a man to a woman, it's something that is nurturing. It is something that you cherish and that you take care of and that you allow to flourish. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing what Christ is doing for you, okay? If you're part of the church, Christ is doing this for you. You're supposed to follow that example and do it for your wife. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So here I just see a working together and a unity that it, That is awesome. Now, I saw a video clip recently, and I forget if it was in a movie or if it was somewhere I saw a video clip, but this is what happens in some cultures today. So it is like women are not allowed to be educated, okay? I think in some of the Muslim countries, they're not allowed to be educated. So what happens if they find out that they're being educated, and there are women who will take that risk? They will find books, they will educate their children because they want something different for their children than what they've experienced. And so this one clip, pretty gruesome, but he found the husband in the home, or the man in the home, found these educational books in their home. And so he was grilling his children to see how much they learn, or to see if they know any of this stuff. And sure enough, they did. They knew what 2 + 2 was. They knew what the alphabet was. And so when he found that out, he brought his wife out, and in front of his children, he killed her. And that's the type of abuse that you have going on in other cultures. Now, we're not that extremist, okay? I hope not. But are there categories that we marginalize women, okay, and that we don't recognize their value? Here's what I believe. And that with what I said earlier about them having a connection to God and them hearing things that we may not hear, okay, women are different. In case you haven't recognized that, they are different. It is true, women are from Venus, men are from Mars, it's true. And we landed on Earth, and now we're trying to figure out how to... No. it's not true, okay? We were created, but we were created differently, and we were created... with a design and a purpose, and we are, when we choose to work together, it is a beautiful thing. But sometimes that takes a little bit of effort. Sometimes you got to figure that out. It doesn't just happen automatically, and you have to learn how to live together. You have to learn how to process things together, how to get along, how to raise your family, how are you going to work through things. It doesn't just happen. But I believe when we tune into that we hear, when we allow the women to speak into our lives, we hear a piece that we would miss if we don't listen to that. Now, I was always raised that, I don't know exactly where this influence came from. I know my mom was very strong on that. I know I had some early teaching that women have a tuition. And as a husband, you need to tap into that. So that was my understanding going into marriage, that I knew I wanted to tap into that. And so this has been my experience, okay? So whenever there was a major decision that we had to make, when we were flipping homes, whenever there was a property we bought, I didn't buy one property unless we were both on the same page, okay? We never made any investments without us being on the same page. We never made any major decisions, any major moves, any major, I don't know, just a lot of stuff. It was just always with the consent or with an understanding with each other. I have found that to be so valuable in my life that I don't know what I would do without that. It has given me a greater confidence in moving forward in decisions. If I see something and I bring it to her and she has a question about it, we stop and we process it. If I'm about to proceed into something and she says she doesn't feel good about it, we stop, we pull back, we don't move forward. If I see something that we want to pursue and she says go for it, I've never been let down yet. I mean, it's just been a great experience. Jason, it's really getting hot in here, and I don't think that air conditioner over there is turned on. I don't know if anybody else is hot, but I'm melting. So, all right. So I love that. I love this picture in Ephesians 5, where he talks about the relationship of a husband to his wife. So let's just bring this concept into the church setting, okay? So I talked about a marriage relationship, husband and wife, how tuned in to her that I am. I believe that we have shut down women for too long, and women have felt that the church is not a place for them to speak up, and that their voice is not welcome or not wanted. And if that feeling is here, I would like to dispel that this morning. I don't think it's right. I think as a church, in order for us to grow, to move forward and to grow and to be prosperous in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to bring our women along, or our women, we're going to have to hear the voice of the women in the church. You hear things from God that we don't do. You have the spiritual giftings as well as any man. And if you have the spiritual gifting of a prophet or an evangelist or a teacher, and you are not using that, the church is missing out on that. If you get direction from God and you don't say anything, the church is missing out. We're missing out on a piece that is very important for us to move forward. And I want to empower you to wake up to that, and to be tuned into that, and to have the courage and the authority to speak up when you hear God saying something. Some of you have taken that liberty. You've spoken up in at times when it was not easy to speak up, and it changes the atmosphere. And I think we need to do that more. Maybe it's us men who are giving the vibe that's not welcome. Maybe it's us men who are not willing to take the leadership and speak up when we hear stuff. Maybe we're like, what are other people going to think? What's someone going to think if I speak up? If I'm feeling a certain thing and it's not what the group's feeling, but I don't want to speak up because I don't want to make any ripples. If men, and I'm speaking to you too, if you hear that and you sense that, you need to speak up. If you sense God speaking to you and giving you revelation, you need to speak up. And as we do that, at the same time, we need to empower our women to do that too. We are missing out. I'm telling you, we're missing out if we don't have that peace. And here at Way of Jesus, I want that peace. I want to hear. I don't want to go through this journey of life of building the kingdom of God and missing out on a peace that God wants to share with us, but we're not open to it because we think it has to come through a specific gender. God is not gender specific. He'll speak to my wife as well as he will to me. Sometimes he'll speak to her in a plainer way just to see if I listen to what she says. That's a test. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that or not, but it's true. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And it's true. It's true. Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Guys, do you hear what he's saying about women here? This is something that is to be treasured. It's something to be valued. It's something to be protected. It's something to be tuned into. And if we can just move our ego to the side, none of you guys in here have that problem, do you? We can just move our egos to the side and we can be tuned into the woman in our life. You will be blessed for that. Here's the other thing that's true within a marriage, and this goes for the church as well, is when you walk in harmony and unity, God looks on that union and he will bless it. If you are walking in disunity and disharmony, God's blessing is not going to be upon that. And I would encourage you, I don't think you want to go through life like that. I think you want to be tapped into the best that God has for you, and he does have the best in mind for you. He does want you to prosper, and he does want you to flourish, but he has conditions before he's just going to pour out his blessings. In Psalm it says, there's a verse in Psalms that says something about when brethren dwell together in unity, that God commands his blessing on that. I don't think it's just talking about brothers. I think it's talking about any union. It could be your marriage. It can be a church. It can be a leadership team. It can be whatever. But when you are unified, God commands his blessing on that. He doesn't just, it's an option. He says, no, you go and you bless that. I see harmony here. I see unity here. Go bless it. He commands the blessing to go there. I love that picture. God's not one to hold back. If you're not experiencing the blessing of God, it's not that he doesn't want to pour it out. He wants what's best for you. when you look at Jesus and his relationship to women in the Bible, and here's the thing that Jesus just did constantly. Now there was a period of what they call the Dark Ages there between the prophets of the Old Testament and when Jesus came. But I'm told, I don't research this stuff, it's beyond me, but I'm told that in the Old Testament law, there was 247 laws, okay? They got that nailed down, 247. By the time that Jesus came, there was 617. 617, that's more than double of what God had originally instated in the law of Moses, okay? 247 to 617. So Jesus comes onto the scene here with the Pharisees and the scribes, and he just, it just seems like he's just constantly doing it just to come against their made up laws. And one of their things was the role of women. And I just see throughout the Gospels, and sometimes read the Gospels with this in mind, with your antenna tuned in to how Jesus related to women, okay? Jesus was surrounded with women. Here's why I think it was. They lived in a stifled society where they were put in a box and they had to live within all these little rules and laws, and they couldn't even keep them. I'll give you one. So you have the woman who had an issue of blood, right? So whenever a woman had her monthly cycle, she was considered unclean, okay? So not only did she have to stay in her house, but if she went out, she had to yell to everybody, unclean, unclean. Remember, that was what the lepers did. The lepers did that when they went out into the public. They had just so people stay away to say they are unclean. So these women had to go out. If they went out, they had to shout, unclean, unclean. That's embarrassing, isn't it? And here this woman comes to Jesus. She had an issue of blood that wouldn't stop. It was constant. And she came to Jesus in a crowd. Do you understand the courage and the boldness of this woman? That she was able to step outside her house. Obviously, she was not doing what she was supposed to, or the crowd would have split. But she snuck her way into the crowd, and she said, if only I can touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I could be healed. I don't know what she saw. She probably saw the miracles that Jesus was doing, and she knew there was something going on here. Maybe there was other women who were whisperings, you know, that you know how word gets around. But maybe she heard through other women that Jesus is a man who accepts women. You can trust him. But whatever, she found her way out to this crowd where Jesus was, snuck her way in through the crowd. And if they would have known what was going on, they would have split. But she snuck up, touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and instantly it dried up. The faith and the boldness of that woman to step out in that kind of faith, Jesus recognized that, and healing took place instantly. So all she did was touch the hem of his garment. And he turns around, he's like, what's going on here? There's virtue went out of me. And the disciples look, what are you talking about? There's a crowd of people around you. They're all touching you. Oh, no, there's something specific went on here. And he looked directly at the woman, and he said, your faith has made you whole. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of confidence do you have in your God? Do you know that your God is able to do that and exceedingly more than that? If you have stuff in your life and you're willing to step out in faith, boldness, and confidence, God recognizes that. That wasn't just for that day. That's for today, too. We serve the same God. It's not any different. Shouldn't be. So Jesus' relationship to women was wherever he went, there was women. Eating at a Pharisee's house, and prostitutes come in, and they fall at his feet, and they and they weep, and they wash his feet with their tears, and they dry the tears and the dirt and the grime with their hair, and they come and they break up bottles of expensive ointment, they pour it over his feet, and it was constant. And this was all stuff that was it was against the culture of that day. This was a no-no. Like, and there was one case where, I think it was Simon who said, if Jesus is really a prophet, he's going to know who this woman is and what she did. And Jesus makes no reference to that whatsoever, lets her do to him what she wanted to do, and she's just in a puddle in front of him. Just look here, if you're going to wash somebody's feet with tears, it's not just shedding a couple of tears running down your cheek. This is a stream of tears coming out of her. To whom much is forgiven, that verse about when your sin is great, your forgiveness is even greater and you appreciate it. And I think that was the case here. They just felt the love of Jesus and it just moved them to tears. What do people feel what do people feel around you? What do the women feel around you? Do women feel safe around you? Do they feel like they can trust you? Do they feel like they can be open? Do they feel like they can come to church? Do we provide an atmosphere where they can open up, where they can share what they're feeling, where they're hearing from God and they're able to share that? I think it's important. Aquila and Priscilla is another example where they worked together as a team and they instructed, they specifically took Saul or Paul at that time under their wings and instructed him. Esther's another one. Do you ever think about the boldness that it took for her? Here again, it was in a culture that women were not necessarily up front. It was not really the accepted thing. Esther stepped out in boldness and did what she did, and in the process saved a nation from being destroyed. Here's what Micah 6:4 says about Moses and Aaron. It talks about the leadership who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in that leadership, it mentions Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Now, they were all siblings, okay? I'm sure they always got along really well, but her name is mentioned there. Her name is mentioned as part of the leaders. And so I'm not advocating that we have women in leadership. This is men's position. I want that distinction to be clear, that as men, we have the position of authority, but it does not change. It does not change our position and our relationship with God, okay? There has to be order. It talks about that in Corinthians 11. There has to be an order. It's God over Christ, Christ over man over woman, and it's not in a lording, demeaning way. Jesus doesn't treat you like that. He doesn't lord over you. He doesn't force you to do stuff. And neither should you do that to your wife. Neither should we do that to the women around us. I'm going to pause right there, and I'm going to have Elmina come up and just share a few things. Here's what I do want you to understand, that that you are hearing from a woman of wisdom. She has grown and changed so much in the last number of years. And I love it. She's a woman of strength. She's a woman of honor. And I'll stop. I love you.
Well, it's good to see everybody here. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out here. And I feel a little bit... uncomfortable maybe to be up here, but I realize also that my role beside him and with him, and so I don't want to turn that down if he wants me to come up here and share something. But I have been on a journey of really understanding who I am in Christ the last number of years, and so I'm just excited to share that with you, and just to kind of share my testimony out of my heart. And I've also been really studying about just how to learn, trying to understand better what a woman's purpose is and what our role really is. And like, why did God create us and what we're meant to do and be? And, you know, when I look around me in the world around us, I mean, it just breaks my heart to see the way that women have been devalued and abused and trampled upon and become domestic slaves and objects of lust and just so many wrong things that are going on in our world today and even in the church sometimes. And so I just want to be clear today that if we're not getting our identity from Christ, and if we're not understanding really who we are, if we're getting our value from our society and the world instead of from God, we're going to be really confused. And so there's a couple of different responses that go on, I think, when we look into the world and we see women being treated like that. So much abuse going on. You know, what I think I see in the world out there is that a lot of women just get really fed up and they get really angry about it. And so then they react wrongly and they try to make more legislation and more, you know, programs and more, you know, they try to change things without God, right? And so that's the whole, what I see is a whole women's lib movement. And, you know, they're just trying in their own strength to change things. And as a result of the women's lib movement, I see a lot of injustice being done to men as well, that men are not allowed to lead and they're being squashed and they're being disrespected and they're being pushed under. And that's wrong too. Like, we have to understand our role of uplifting the men around us and respecting them and working alongside of them. So I read recently that men don't like legislation. Am I right? You don't like to be told what to do, right? And I think us women really need to understand that and really come alongside that and understand that that's not going to work.
It's called egotistic.
But we can't change the man's mindset. God has to do that. You know, we can't change, we can't make more legislations and try to prove who we are in our own strength. That never works. So, you know, just for, I'll share my personal testimony a little bit, but a number of years ago, we were just newly married. We went to a Steve Stutzman seminar, I think. I don't remember what it was called. It was before Take Back Your Life. We just went one night. That night really changed my life. I learned that I was believing a lot of lies about myself. And I was really, I was not believing the truth about myself. And, you know, I just started really, every thought that would come into my mind would go through the filter of, is this what God is saying about me, or am I just telling this to myself? Is this truth, or is this a lie? And I can't tell you how much that changed me. And it wasn't like overnight, but it was just, it was a gradual change. And I'm telling you, the things that we tell ourselves are so important. If we're telling ourselves things that aren't in agreement with what God is saying, then that's wrong. We have to call that a sin. We have to repent. And I just have here, when you allow others to declare who you are actually submitting your rights to them, to that person. And that's not who you want to submit your rights to. You want to submit your rights to God. It says if you're going to allow others to define who you are, you're submitting your rights to them, and you better be prepared for the consequences. And when we don't understand and appreciate our God-given differences, you know, women and men, we're going to have conflict. Does anybody else see this going on around us? Like, there's a lot of conflict between men and women. The whole gender thing, like, it's all messed up today in the world. And it's because people don't understand or appreciate the differences and how God created them. The other thing is, if we want to know our purpose, then we need to ask our Creator. We shouldn't ask other people. Ask the Creator. Look in His Word. Study His Word. Find out who you are and what your purpose is. When we don't, you know, if we ignore and we don't understand God's purpose for us, we are in danger of hurting ourselves and others. And when our purpose is not known or rejected, that's when abuse happens. You know, if men don't understand the purpose of women, they will abuse them. When women don't understand their own purpose, they will abuse themselves. They'll be hurtful to other people. God made male and female to have the same essence. He placed his spirit in both of us. In the Bible, a lot of times when it uses the word man, I think we all know this kind of, but like it was just a good reminder again. Like, God gave man dominion over the earth. Okay, that means woman too.
Yeah.
Like, when you look in the original language, that means woman as well. And so while we have different roles and different, there's a headship order, we have, you know, we both have the Spirit of God. We both have access to the same God. And, you know, we are responsible to God. We're both responsible to God. The other thing I think that I was really not clear on was, you know, the fall of man. You know, how a lot of times the woman kind of gets the blame for that. You know, when she took the fruit and ate of it. I could say some other things about that right now, but I won't go into all of that. But, you know, God didn't curse the woman. God didn't curse the man either. He cursed the ground. He also cursed the enemy, the serpent. But he did not curse the man or the woman. I want you to look at that when you have a chance to go to Genesis 3. You know, women, I want us to know and understand that we are God's idea.
That's true. It's a good idea, too.
It doesn't matter what other people say or what you're telling yourself. You are a good idea. I am a good idea, okay? Can I just tell ourselves that? Like, is it okay for us all to just tell ourselves that? I'm a good idea. And that's not proud. It's just the truth. It's just saying what God is saying. You know, God's mind thought of us. And so that makes us very valuable to him. So what about submission? Is there anyone else that when you hear the word submission, something a little bit like rises up in you? You're not sure sometimes how to take that? So the word submission literally means to come under the same mission. So like when you think of the prefix sub, if you understand English language, that means under, right? So, and mission is the word, you know, mission. So submission means to come under the same mission. So I guess my question to the guys is, you know, do you have a mission? Do you know your mission and purpose? And I know my husband does. But, you know, and it's a joy to come under his mission. It really is. It's not hard at all. And you know, in the headship order, you know, Jesus came under the submission of his Father. He was under the authority of the Father. And so if we don't want to be under authority, then we're saying that we're better than Jesus, right? In essence, that's what we're saying. If I don't want to come under the submission of my husband, then I might as well, like, then I'm not, then I don't get it. Because even though Jesus was equal to God, he still submitted to his Father. And so in the same way, even though we're equal in the sight of God to the men, we need to come under their authority. Do you know why marriages and relationships and society, why things aren't working today? Why there's so many divorces? Why so many things are going on? And it's because people aren't accepting their positions. They don't understand the headship order. They don't understand, you know, God's level of, I mean, God's design of authority for men and women. If we don't accept and understand our positions, we'll function in ignorance and the results will be pain and destruction. And boy, do we ever see that around us. So as a woman, I am his enhancer. A woman takes what the man does and says, and she enlarges it and extends it. And it's so interesting because you see that, like, literally. Like, the more when I really started understanding that, you know, a woman takes what the man gives her and enlarges and extends it. It happens. She validates his leadership as a co-leader by sharing his vision and by giving him respect. And when a woman's vision for her life is completely different than her husband, they're going to experience division. They won't have the same vision. It'll be division, right? So how much more effective are we if we can learn to team up and come under the same vision and the same mission? I want to say, too, that all of the stuff that I'm sharing, you can see it in the physical world, but it's also that way in the spirit realm. A lot of the things that I'm saying are, you know, we see it like in the spirit realm, but you also see it in the physical. I am a reflector of my husband. Just the example of Christ in the church and how that the church is called to reflect Christ, right? In the same way, a woman is called to reflect her husband. And, you know, it makes it a lot easier to reflect a man who's really coming under Christ. You know, if a man isn't coming under Christ, it makes it, it's almost impossible for a woman to really come under his mission if she wants to, My heart goes out to women who don't have that with their husbands. But man is supposed to be a giver of love, and a woman is a receiver of love. And love is a fuel for women. If you want to see if a woman's happy, is she getting love? That's our fuel. It's kind of like when you have a car, you're the driver of the car, right? And as people, we need water to keep going in life, right? Can't live without water, right? Well, your car can't run unless it has fuel. If you try to put water in your car because you need water, that car's not going to run. It's gonna damage it. So in the same way, you know, don't just think that you know and understand, how to give love. It's different for every person a little bit. You know what I mean? So we have to know and not, we have to take time to understand and know each other. To know what is needed to feel love. I mean, there's the whole thing of love languages, and they are real. So if you want to know what a man is like, don't look at the man, look at the woman who's reflecting him. That's what I read, and I think that's true. And in the same way, if you want to know what Jesus is like, don't necessarily look at Jesus, but look at his church. And is the church reflecting him? Jesus sent the church into the world to be a reflection of him. As women, we are life givers. We are, and we do that physically, you know. We're the ones that bring life, right? And sometimes we're also incubators, right? So, there's a couple women in here that recently had new babies, and so it's always a joy to see that. But, you know, that also works in the spirit realm, too. You know, we incubate things. We grow things. We hold on to things, right? And then when the time is right, it brings forth new life. And it's so interesting to watch that. Whatever you give to a woman, she will multiply. We have a nurturing instinct, and that's God-given. And women are also influencers, and I think we see that a lot in the world around us. And I think it's good for us to understand our realm of influence. But one word of caution, if our influence is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it's very dangerous. And you see that both ways. Women are influencers, whether it's for good or for evil. I just want to encourage all of you women here today to pursue God's purposes for your life. Accept the freedom that you have in Christ. Know that we're valued by him, and to develop the creative ideas he's given us. Be a blessing, not just to others, but let's be a blessing to ourselves too. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Let's know and understand who we are in Christ, and let's understand that our place is in Christ and beside our husbands.
Hang on a minute. I just want to give anybody an opportunity to ask any questions. Maybe some of this is, maybe you've been processing a lot and you just want to throw some questions out. Now's your chance if anybody has any. I'm not feeling that you have to have any. I just want to give you that opportunity. Cool. Good job. I think you're good to go. So I think we're going to wrap it up with that. Martha's not in here right now, so I think I can say this. I didn't ask permission. I'll ask forgiveness later if she... So I remember very distinctly, I don't know why, this it must have left an impression on me or something because I never forgot it. But I used to hang out a good bit with her older sisters, and so I just remember one night being at her house late night, and you know, sometimes their dad would join us, I don't know, for a snack or whatever. And so this particular night, it was her dad, two of her sisters, and then Martha was down there as well. So I just remember that there was something about it was something about the food. Maybe it was lunches. Maybe Martha was packing lunches or something. But her dad, I wish I knew the details around it. But the thing I remember is, man, she stood up to her dad and she said, "This is not how it's going to be. This is how it is." I was like, "Whoa!" And so, I just want to tell you, Nelson, you got a strong woman, and that is awesome. We need to hear that. We need women like that, women of strength, women who are not afraid to stand up for truth and for what's right. It's not just us men who are supposed to do that; it's the women too. So I have a feeling that your wife might have the gift of a prophet, and we need to hear the voice of the prophet. So, take whatever, you know. Hopefully you were able to take some nuggets today, and you can chew on it. You can, you know, like a cow does, it swallows the food, takes it in, and then later on brings it back up and chews on it. Hopefully there's some material there for you to do that. Don't just leave here today and think about some of this stuff and not do anything. Be hearers of the word and not doers. If I said something today that you don't feel was true, that was on track, I'm open. I'm an open book. You can come talk to me. I want you to be free to do that. But I want you to learn. I don't just want to say stuff and not give you something that you can't walk out or you can't apply. I think that is super important for the body of Christ, is that we don't just hear things, we don't just read things, we actually do them. And when we are, Elmina said that, okay, if you want to know what Jesus is like, look at the church. And I was like, whoa. We are portraying to the world around us what Jesus is like. Do you understand the responsibility of that? And do you understand when we look around at the Church of America today, it is not what I see Christ being. I'm saying as a whole, you know, the church, there will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. There will always be people who stand for truth, who don't give in to the pressures of society. There will always be those people who stand up and who live it out. Unfortunately, there's also those who will be swayed by every wind and doctrine that comes along the way. And what it does is it puts a bad taste in people's mouths about who Christ really is. So I want to encourage you, go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Think about how you're representing him to the world around you and make a difference, make an impact, because you are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the only Bible that some people get to read. Make sure that it's not tainted. That's your responsibility. So God bless you. I just want to pray over you yet. Father God, I thank you for every person that's here today under the sound of my voice. And I pray as they go forth, as they go out of here today, Father, I pray that you would continue to use them. You would speak to them, Father. I pray that you would raise up out of this group of people here today, you would raise up men and women who are willing to stand up for truth and for what's right, even if they have to stand alone, that they will stand up for you. And Father, I pray that every person here, as they go out into the world today, as they rub shoulders with employers, with employees, with people on the street. Father, that we could be true representatives of you in this lost and dying world. And Father, we're going to change that. We're going to change that for your glory. We're going to change that for your kingdom. And I believe, Father, you want your kingdom to come here on this earth as it is in heaven. And we want to be a part of that. Thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for the hunger that you're stirring up within your people across this county and across this country. And I pray that you would continue to do that, Father. You would continue to bring a stirring across this nation like we have never seen before in our time. And you would raise up the church. You would raise up the true church of Jesus Christ to make a difference and make an impact and change their neighborhoods and change their cities and change their states and change the country for you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.